Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored. And we are owned by a baby. I should not tell you this. I should not say this on air, but you're slightly frustrated.
Yes.
Because the little dude who we love just decided to
do love.
We do love him, but he just decided to reiterate to you that he's in charge. By knocking your laptop off of the desk, and now your screen looks real pretty.
Yeah, I've got just a few busted pixels. It's not as bad as it could be. It's not like to the point that I'm like, oh, I gotta go get this replaced right now, which I've had happen before. But it is like, that's obnoxious. That's annoying. Like, it's just right down at the bottom of the screen, just a couple of really bright spots that I'm like, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
He is pure chaos. Yes. Just about all the time. He is just a destructive little force in our house and loves it. Thinks it's the funniest thing that he's so destructive. The joys of children transitioning into toddlerhood. Like, he's nearly not a baby anymore. He's kind of getting into that toddler phase, and it's just pure chaos all the time.
I feel
him right now while he's sleeping, so we'll hope he stays asleep for a while.
I feel so bad that I'm missing all of it. I feel really bad that I cannot come and contribute to the chaos.
Yes.
Because you know I would.
For sure.
This is just where we are in life. Like, it's just part of the deal, and we're just lucky we get to play any games at all at this point.
That is very true. Any gaming right now is a net positive for me, which is not great for hosting a video game podcast, obviously, but soon, knock on wood, things will be a little bit more agreeable to the video game playing time. We'll see if that happens, but that's the hope, is that eventually be able to do a little bit more video game time.
Well, hopefully for the next little while here, I'll try and
help keep us legit.
Carry water for the both of us. Like, I'm trying to the best of my ability. It ain't working. I ate like an hour and a half ago, and I was like, okay, I have an hour before we start the show. I'll just fire up Indie for a little bit because I haven't gotten Indie this week. And I played for about 10 minutes and I looked down and I was like, I don't have time for this. I got to get ready for the show. So as soon as this show's over, I'm going back to Indie.
Yeah.
And doing that because I'm way behind. I'm still in Giza tracking around. You are correct. It is a slog. And we'll talk about a little bit more about that later. But right now, we should thank the Patreon guys because you have a busted laptop and we need money.
You want to support us and help me replace my screen eventually? That'd be great. Thanks to Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. It's those three L's in a row that stumble me every single time. Luik, Logan, and Liz. Jordan, Gio, Derek, thank you all for your support. We appreciate it, obviously. It helps us to play games, which we are doing some of, and we'll talk about here in a second. It's not that we're not playing games at all, but not playing as much as we would like to be. But it helps us play games, helps us pay for all the things that go into doing this show, and we appreciate that a ton.
Yes.
Thank you so much for your support. If you'd like to support us, go over to GamingUncensored.com. Click that become a patron link. While you're there, you can join us on the Discord, which I have not updated the link. I just realized, and so I'll do that right now. I just wanted to check and see if it's expired, but it will be working when you go over there because you will be in the future from where we are right now. And so Discord link and join us over there as well.
After this show, I'm going to ask our whip goddess Evie how to make a permanent Discord.
Logan sent me a way to do it. I just haven't done it yet.
Okay.
So I will do that right now. I like to multitask, and so
you're very good at it.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
The kid. He wears me out. I'm not always so sure with him.
Real quick, while we're talking about the Patreon members, gotta say, happy birthday to our buddy Derek. His birthday was yesterday.
Nice.
And I was going to be a nice host of a podcast and go on Steam and see if I could, you know, find a cheap game to throw his way. But his Steam wish list somehow is unavailable. I don't know. It's because we're not friends or what the deal is, but I added him on Steam, and I tried to get your game, buddy. That's all I'm saying. Happy birthday, Derek. We love you. We're glad you're here. All I can say is welcome to the old man club.
Yes. Always. Yep. I don't remember how old Derek is. I mean, he's around our age, I know, but
he's a little younger than us, but he ain't that much younger.
All getting old. At some point, like, that age gap just continually narrows as you get older, that you're like, we're the same.
Yes.
There's no meaningful difference between us anymore. So
no,
we're definitely in that place at this point.
Yep.
If you're a middle-aged dude, we are too. We're all there together.
I was reminded how middle-aged that I am when I went and watched my weekday guy, Peyton, play in a youth band at a very large church here in town. There's only a couple of very large churches here in town, so I'm guessing you can guess which one.
I'm sure I can.
Yes. And it was the first time in my life that I was in a place for 3 hours and nobody said nothing. I was just like a random old guy in a wheelchair that nobody had any idea what to do with.
That's beautiful.
It's not a good feeling, this getting old thing.
Yeah.
Not good at all. That said, we need to talk about less depressing things and talk about some games.
Yes.
Because I'll tell you, this is going to be an interesting show. Because for it to be one day before February, we have lots and lots and lots and lots of games to talk about.
Yes.
Including, if we get that far, Grand Theft Auto 6.
Yeah. Which still theoretically may be out this year. We'll see. But we do have lots to talk about. Microsoft did a developer direct, and so that's going to give us plenty of fodder. Not a ton of games, but some interesting games, and so we will get into those momentarily. And then just a little bit about like the state of the industry, too. Just we're in a fascinating place. It's just a lot of fascinating stuff. And so we'll kind of talk about that a little bit here in a bit. But we also need to check it real quickly on Indy, because I know we've both put a little bit more time on Indy, and I need to tell you where I am on not playing Indy right now, because I have stopped for a little bit.
You did, and I'm glad that you did, because I fired up the YouTube and noticed that there was more to watch, and so I did that over the last couple of days. That's the reason I have not been playing Indy, because my Indy time went to Rebirth. And,
right.
And I'm happy about that. Right. It's weird as crap. Can we just put it that way? It's weird as crap.
It is, and I love it so much. Yeah. And so I'll just briefly. So on Indy, I've gotten through kind of next couple of areas after Giza Go. There's a couple of like real quick places that you play through. And then the next big kind of area you get to is Siam. And it's just like after getting through kind of the intro bit of that was like, all right, it's like Giza again, really. Like, it's just, at least as far as I know at this point, because I just kind of plopped in and started like exploring the map a little bit, and I really just went, I don't have it in me to do this again right now. Like, I'm gonna I think it's a good game, I like it, but man, I tried a little bit to go and like do like the first little bit of like, you know, exploring the map, like mission thing there was. I was just like, I don't have it in me right now. You know how I play games, that I'll turn it on and I'll pause it for a long time, and then I'll play for a while and I'll pause it for a long time. Two or three times while I'm sitting and working, I fired up Indy and never touched it. Like, sitting in front of it for, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hours or whatever. Like, it was sitting there running on my computer. I was like, I'll get to it in a little bit while I'm working on other stuff. And I just never got to it because it didn't like draw me in enough for me to stop working for a little bit and play the game for a little bit. And there was a point after I did that two or three times, I went, maybe I should take a break from this, because it's obviously just kind of gotten to the point that I'm not digging it as much as I want to right now. Let me do a little palate cleanse, go back to Final Fantasy, which I know is going to get me, and sure enough it did. Just immediately I was like, oh yeah, this is fun. I'm back, you know. And so I'm looking forward to getting back to Indy, but I'm happily taking a break from it right now.
I will say that I like Giza more than you like Giza, but my issue with Giza is that, and it's going to be the same problem with the next area, I can already see, is that it's the same formula as the Vatican, just a different backdrop. And so you've got artifacts to get, you've got medicine bottles to get, you've got pictures to take, you've got all of that stuff, and that's fabulous. But I already spent 10 hours doing that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And what you said last week is exactly right. The story beats are awesome. Like, Troy Baker is awesome.
Killed it.
And if this was an indie animated movie, like, it's cool, right? But like, once you do the, okay, here's a new environment and here's 15 quests that you got, that you go and do, that you've already done, I can see how it gets, your word was frog. You use the word frog, and that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, and I mean, that's exactly it. Like, Giza as an environment is super cool. Like, I really actually loved it. Like, not played a video game where you go to the Great Sphinx and the pyramids, which they could have done a little bit more with the pyramids, which you get a little taste of pyramids, but just exploring like the underground world and all that. Like, the setting is really cool. It's the game mechanism that is not as fun to me. Like, that just gets sluggish. And that's Siam is very much the same way. Like, it's a cool environment. Like, getting around, it was slight spoiler, it's nothing big, but like, you get on a boat, you get to row around, and you know, like the marsh and all this kind of, like, it's cool. Like, it's a really cool environment. But it was like, okay, now you got to go and like find this dude in this place that's guarded, and you're gonna have to sneak or go find an outfit or whatever. And I'm like, oh, but I just did this, you know, like I just, like, I know exactly what you want me to do. And I'm fine. But it just is, it's just the same thing again. And it's where the game shines, like I said before, is in those areas where it's much more linear, where it really leans heavily on the story. And again, completely unfair. We talked about this on the last show, but I'm going to do it again. Uncharted just does this so much better with the pacing of how to tell a story in this kind of environment. Now, Uncharted relies so heavily on shooting mechanics.
Cutscenes also.
Cutscenes too, which I wish Indy had more cutscenes. I wish it were.
Yes.
But at the same time, the cutscenes that Indy does have take away from what could be cool gameplay elements, like I talked about last time. And so it's just a balance issue to me. Like, the concept is great. The execution of the world and the characters is really well done, but the game pacing and the gameplay mechanisms just not quite there. Like, it just feels off. The pacing is the biggest thing to me, is that it just, like, it was like there were some good beats and there was a good bit of time from the end of Giza through the next couple of things that you do that was like, yeah, here we go. Now we're rocking. This is what I want to do. And then it just grinds to a halt. Like, there's a super cool, fun part right before it grinds to a halt that had me so, like, engaged. And I'm like, I'm in this. And then it was just like, and now you're back to doing the slog. And I'm like, I don't want to, though. Just keep me going and finish the game. Like, let's cut out, like, 3 or 4 fluff hours of this game of going around and finding more artifacts and medicine bottles, which is all fine. And I get people that want to do the completionist and explore stuff. But it just, like, I've already done it. I'm just not that interested in it. It's something I want to spend time on. And that's my biggest complaint with it.
Okay, so let's have a discussion here, because I've been thinking about this since the last show. I like this game. It's a good game. Yes. I like it. I like walking around Giza. I'm having a good time. I'm not saying I'm not having a good time. But as I said 2 weeks ago, it's not game of the year.
No.
and if
I feel that much more now, even than I did when we talked about it before.
If you look around, everybody on the internet, with the exception of Gene Park, loves this thing. And like, so I've been sitting around for the last 2 weeks going, okay, what's wrong with us?
Yes.
Is it that we are indie fans and we're being indie snobs? Or what is it that we're not seeing that everybody else sees? And all I can come up with is that the entire gaming community has waited 30 years for a good indie game, which this is. It's a good indie game.
Yes.
And they're just so happy that they're okay with the rest of it.
Yeah.
I that has to be it.
Maybe so, because I had the exact same thing this week, where somebody that I listened to that hosts a gaming podcast, but I was listening to him on something else where he wasn't hosting a gaming podcast, but it just came up. He just mentioned it as an aside that, oh yeah, the Indiana Jones game. He was like, yeah, it's really good. It's like, he was like, it's real puzzle focus and this kind of stuff. And I was like,
the puzzles are so simple.
The puzzles are so simple. Like, it's just like, I haven't been challenged by the puzzles in the game at all. Like, that part of it hasn't really, and I love puzzle games. Like, that is my sweet spot. Like, if anything is my sweet spot, a puzzle game is right up my alley. And some of the puzzles have been kind of interesting, but most of them just not that compelling. And just, it feels like a game that just doesn't quite know what it wants to be, other than Indiana Jones. And again, they got that part right, which is enough to keep me. But not indefinitely and not continuously. I'm like I said, gonna come back to it. But man, I maybe part of it too, we talked about this before it launched, is that I so badly want a good Indiana Jones game that I have expectations that are maybe too high for it.
Right.
Again, we have a good Indiana Jones-ish game in the Uncharted franchise. Like, that's Indiana Jones with Nathan Drake, but Nathan Drake is Indiana Jones in so many ways. Like, he's just like, they obviously just copied the idea of Indiana Jones, but put the Naughty Dog spin on it, and you get Uncharted Nathan Drake, and it's phenomenal. And that's what I want from an Indiana Jones game. And that's unreasonable. I understand that, but this just obviously isn't it. And I really appreciate that they didn't try to make it an Uncharted game, because you could have and done all the same things, but they did want to make it have a different vibe and a different feel and that kind of stuff. And it just doesn't quite land for me the way I want to. Again, it's a good game, and I keep like feeling bad about like knocking it. It's an 80 something game. It's not a game of the year contender. It's not like it's fine.
And that's what's crazy to me. It's got that's what has me wondering if there's something wrong with us, because everything that I read, somebody says this should be considered for game of the year, and it's not going to be because of when it came out. And like, I would like to say, I think I like it more than you do. But that being said, I spent 6 hours. I spent 3 days this week on a palate cleanser that I didn't expect to jump into, which I made the mistake of getting back into Diablo 4 because right. The guy sitting in my living room on my couch brought his PlayStation and was like, "Hey, dude, you wanna run in Diablo 4?" And I was like, sure. And I looked up 3 days later and I was like, crap.
Now that's a beautiful thing. I love that.
I mean, like seriously, like all day Saturday, all day Sunday was Diablo, and so I can't say anything to you about going to Final Fantasy, because I told him, I was like, we're gonna get the show out of the way, and then I have to spend the afternoon playing Indiana Jones, and then tomorrow we can go back to running in Diablo, but I can't do it today because I gotta spend time playing this thing, or it's not ever gonna get done. And so I think we're both on the same page. Like, I would really like to spend the afternoon playing Diablo, but I'm not going to, because I know I need to catch up with you and Indy and all that. And so
Again, it's good, but it's something that I'm only sticking with at this point because I love Indiana Jones so much. If it wasn't Indiana Jones, it wouldn't have me at all. Like, that's it, and that's not a because it's bad. It's because my gaming time is so valuable because I have so little of it. I've got to put it towards stuff that's really pretty top tier, and it's just not quite top tier. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention that I've played, so a little bit of Final Fantasy VII, which is just great. We don't have to talk about it more right now. We'll get back into it soon, I'm sure. But Genevieve and I have been playing It Takes Two.
I wish I could see that.
It's, yeah, and she's getting better as a gamer. She's honestly just not a very good gamer, which is a little, you know, like it's and she loves playing. Not that she doesn't want to play games, but like, she just doesn't have controller coordination yet, and like, it's, yeah, you know, she's young, but she's not that young. I know kids a lot younger than her who are a whole lot better with a controller.
I'm 45.
Right. You can play games without good controller coordination, obviously. But she's getting better. And so we're just spending a lot of time, because one of the things with It Takes Two is it's a lot of like complex controller movements that you have to do, holding down multiple triggers and using the analog sticks to aim and navigate, and, you know, first person shooter type controls, even though it's obviously not a first person shooter in any kind of way, but it is a dual stick controlled kind of game. And she's just kind of getting her head around like the mechanics of that, and so it's slow going, but she really enjoys it and wants to play it all the time. And so we're getting close to finishing that game, and that'll be the second game that I've beaten with her after Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And so we are officially like getting to the point that like she and I can legit like co-op some stuff together, and that's really fun. That's
awesome. Nice to be, so I so wish I was there.
Yeah.
I so wish I could just, that's what I want to sit and watch. That's what you and I have been talking about since Genevieve came along is that. And yep. And I don't even care if I am playing. I just want to sit there with a drink in my hand and watch that.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. And so that's my favorite gaming thing that I've done recently, just because I get to share it with my daughter and it's a cool thing to do. So anyway, all that being said, should we get into news stuff?
We should. I'm not sure how to approach this because we have an Xbox Direct. And then after we talk about that, which there's a lot of stuff to talk about there, I want to have a quick discussion about Game Pass because we have not talked about Game Pass, and I think both of our views on Game Pass have changed just in the last couple of years. And so let's do this Developer Direct thing, and then I want to have a quick chat about Game Pass.
Which ties into all of this, because that's obviously where Microsoft is going. And so that's what you get us into, kind of that bigger topic, and we'll get into that. So first of all, the games. We'll talk about the games that they showed off, which were, you know, not the biggest named games in the world, at least not at this point, but are significant. And so Doom, which used to be the biggest.
Right.
I'm going to tease a story that's in the show notes that we're likely not going to get to, and so I can tease it here. The Video Game History Foundation, which is super cool, has launched their digital library, which there's a link to in the show notes that you can go check it out if you want to, gamingandcensored.com. But they've just taken a bunch of their collection. This is a work in progress, so it's not everything they have. But they obviously have just, you know, massive amounts of content, of magazines and promotional materials and instruction booklets, everything. Like just any kind of physical print material, promotional material, merch, all that kind of stuff. Like this place has been collecting it. And they have been digitizing. And so right now you can go and like see like old video game magazines. And so I was just clicking around and pulled up an old PC Gamer from 1995, like just randomly landed on a PC Gamer from 1995, that the cover story was The Doom Killer. And it was about the game Descent, which obviously wasn't The Doom Killer, but you know, like that was the way that they were billing it at the time. And it just was like, it said something about, is this a game that takes down the best game that was ever made, talking about Doom. And I was like, there was a point in time where Doom was the best game that had ever been, like was the pinnacle of what gaming was. And so just, and like, I totally just randomly clicked through that. Didn't mean to like go find Doom, but it just is an evidence of how big Doom was as a staple of the gaming world, that that's what it was 30 years ago, right? Which is nuts at this point that came out 30 years ago. But 30 years ago, it was, you know, the best game that had ever been made. Doom now is not that. But Doom the Dark Ages does look kind of cool, like this medieval Doom kind of thing. It's Doom. It's fast and crazy and whatever they've done with Doom at this point. But it's on Game Pass, so I'll at least play it for 20 minutes.
It does look kind of cool, and I hope if you play it for 20 minutes that you stream it for 20 minutes, because that's all I'm going to do with it.
Yeah.
I have not ever had the reflexes to play the new Doom. I played all of the old school Dooms. I don't have it with these. I own them both. You know, you guys have sent me those games, and I'm just not, I don't have it.
Yeah.
And I hate it because I would love to play it, but I don't have it.
Yeah.
So I sent you a text and said, this is the game that I'm least interested in. The rest of these we really need to talk about. And that makes me sad because Doom, you know, like you said, was a big deal when we were growing up. And now I'm making mistakes on the air saying that Indy is Unreal 5 when it's in id Tech 7 on the engine because I'm not used to those guys building engines for other games because it is Doom and Quake. That's what they are.
Yeah. Yeah, that's in my mind.
It's just, it's weird.
It is weird. And, you know, I mean, it kind of is. I'm the same way with like most fighting games too, you know, like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were our thing once upon a time. Those aren't my thing anymore. You know, like it's just, I'm a different person than when I played Doom, even though I loved Doom back in the day. And so, but I'll play it. Like there's something fun about that. Just ridiculous over the top kind of shooter thing, like chainsaw shield thing. I don't even know what it is, but it's cool looking. And you know, like there's just some visceral joy that comes with that. And the Dark Ages theme is kind of cool. So it's worth a little bit of time. They also showed off some more of South of Midnight. By the way, Doom has a release date. Let me find out really quick. May 15th is the release date for Doom the Dark Ages. South of Midnight, which is a game that you and I have been talking about quite a bit as it's shown up the past couple years, also has a release date. That is April 8th. And so that's not very far away, which is cool. And we kind of got to see some more of what it is, getting a sense of not just the cinematic nature of it, which is kind of what we've seen up until this point, but some of the gameplay stuff, which looks fine. Didn't have me like super excited, but looked like serviceable for gameplay if that world is as interesting as it seems like it will be, is enough to at least get me into it. And again, it's on Game Pass, as all these are, and so there's no reason not to.
Okay, so I'm way into this specifically because it looks like an Alice in Wonderland.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a character that looks like your daughter.
Right.
Right. So I'm into it for that. And for that, I applaud it. Because just that is a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm way into the title, but we've been talking about it for a couple of years now. We still don't know what it is. Like, it's like some sort of a cross between Alice in Wonderland and The Wizard of Oz, you know? Like,
right.
Like, the house gets blown away and off the daughter goes down the old brick road. Like, that's as much as I know about it. So I would love to know more, but even 2 years later, we still don't know what.
Yeah, there is. I think it's just going to be one of those things that you kind of have to play to really get a sense of it. I do like the visual style a lot. That it's got that kind of cel shaded, comic-y style to it, in a kind of modern sense. The environments look super cool.
It reminds me a little bit of American McGee. American McGee title.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it in comparison to Alice in Wonderland there, obviously, too. I'm skeptical about the combat and gameplay and that kind of stuff, but it has like some sort of leveling mechanism and all. Like, it should be interesting. And so hopefully it's enough to keep us entertained, but it's, again, worth at least putting a little time into just because that world looks so cool. So that's South of Midnight. There is Clair Obscur Expedition 33. I want to be more into this one than I am. It just, I don't know why it's not really catching me. It's a turn-based RPG. That's positive.
That's what's got me. I'm like, this is something that you and I need to be into because it's clearly an old-school turn-based RPG, which there ain't enough of those.
Right, for sure. And so that aspect of it is kind of cool. It takes place in, like, 19th century France, which is a cool time for a game to take place. Just not a, like, super common era for a game. There's already, like, a film adaptation of this confirmed or something I saw somewhere else. I'm like, I don't even know what this game is, and you're already making a movie out of it. So, I don't know. The lore of it did not capture me yet. And that's the part that, like, the lore of South of Midnight got me. I don't know what the gameplay is. This one, the gameplay is more interesting to me, but the lore hasn't captured me yet. And it does say something, I guess, that the lore seems to mean more to me right now than the gameplay does, because I'm more excited about South of Midnight than I am this. To be fair, we've seen more of South of Midnight over the past couple of years. And
yes,
I think this might have popped up sometime, but I don't remember it. Like, it just,
I think we saw it last year at Summer Game Fest. Maybe was the first time that we saw it.
Yeah.
So
it's just kind of at this point. It is a new developer. This is their first game. And so just for them, I hope it's successful. I hope it's great. I want every game to be good, you know. We'll see what happens. And then the last kind of big thing, a couple of Ninja Gaiden things. First of all, there's Ninja Gaiden 4 coming, supposedly this fall. We'll see. It doesn't have a firm release date. But it's going to be on Game Pass. Plus, I will say, this is an Xbox developer direct. This one, at least Ninja Gaiden, is going to be on the PlayStation as well. The other ones, Doom is going to be on PlayStation PC. But South of Midnight doesn't have PlayStation, and Clair Obscur doesn't have PlayStation listed. Just a note for what we're going to talk about here in a little bit that is important. So Ninja Gaiden 4, which is, you know, Team Ninja and what they do and kind of their sweet spot. That makes sense. And then Ninja Gaiden 2 Black has been remastered, graphically remastered, which looks very pretty. Ninja Gaiden is one of those games that's fun and ridiculous, you know, like just a kind of crazy, twitchy, lots of wildness going on time. It's on Game Pass.
Just real quick. The thing about Ninja Gaiden is that I'm really excited that it's out there. I'm really excited there's a new one. But, like, I'm saving my twitchy lose 15 hours of my life for when Onimusha comes out. Yes. Like, it's kind of that same thing. There's one game that's going to get that time for me. Yep. And it's the new Onimusha. The rest of them, it's like, yeah, it's on Game Pass. I'll play it for 20 minutes. And then when you get to the platforming aspect of it, I will die and that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of where I am with it, too. And this, again, these used to be like my sweet spot for a lot of games. Devil May Cry, I play a ton of.
It's very Devil May Cry.
And you know, those games are still fun, but just not the things that I play as much anymore. And so things change and adapt and you know, in different ways. So those were the highlights from the Xbox Game Direct, but also leads really well into kind of a broader discussion that obviously includes a lot about Game Pass. We'll get to that. I'm going to there's three or four show notes. I would encourage you, again, go by gamingandcensor.com to see the show notes, because we won't hit each one of these specifically. But just to give you a sense of kind of the stuff that's been being talked about around Microsoft and their gaming world right now. So headline for one of these is Xbox Series X/S sales trail behind Xbox One while the PS5 outpaces the PS4. I don't think anybody's surprised by that, but again, it's just Xbox hardware is not driving Microsoft like it has in the past. Xbox revenue takes a hit while Game Pass keeps growing. I think that's a big significant thing that is happening. One more here. Phil Spencer, Xbox boss, says brand's identity is, quote, evolving in response to fan concerns over multi-platform future, which is, there's been a lot of talk about games coming out on the PlayStation and even the Switch 2. Phil Spencer saying that the Switch 2 will be getting Xbox games, as he loves the Switch, is excited about the Switch 2, all that. The Xbox brand is not tied to their hardware like we think of gaming brands having been in the past, and that's becoming more and more distinct. And Game Pass is really what they're leaning into more, which we've talked about before, but it's becoming ever more evident around that.
And here's the discussion that I wanted to have with you. I counted before we started the show, and I currently have 4 Game Pass games installed on my system, right? 4 Game Pass games that I have put time into one of them Starfield 5. I haven't touched Starfield. we'll get into that later. But I have more than three Game Pass games installed on my system right now. And if I had not been here from day one, if you and I hadn't been around since before Game Pass came out, I don't think I would realize that I didn't own those games right now.
Yeah.
Right? Like I don't own those games. I am paying Microsoft a subscription fee to play those games, and I have access to them. And for as much as you and I complain about not having time to play games, which we don't have, if you haven't turned on the news out there, there's a lot of really serious stuff going on. I've been watching the news. I know you've been watching the news. And honestly, we both had screens on when we would otherwise be playing video games this week, because there's big, serious world stuff going on that you have to pay attention to.
Yeah.
But that being said, even with all of that, you and I are playing more games right now than we've ever played in our lives. There's so many games, we can't keep track of them all. And we're hopping from game to game, putting in an hour here, an hour there, trying to keep up for this show, which is exactly what we wanted to do when we started. Obviously, we right. want to spend more time with it, but this is exactly where we wanted to be when we started this. And it's mostly because of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Even with Patreon, look, I love you people. And it's our fault that our Patreon is not more successful than it is, because we don't give you guys enough content. Even with Patreon, you and I could not afford all of these games that we're playing and talking about on this show. We just couldn't without Game Pass.
Yeah.
And that's mind bending to me, because now that it is the most useful subscription that I'm paying for. like before the show today, I was looking at what it's going to cost me to upgrade my Game Pass so that I can have cloud gaming and all that. And then I'm looking at all of my other video subscriptions going, okay, is there anything I can cancel to make this upgrade make more sense? Because Game Pass is insanely useful.
Yeah.
And I've talked about before that a price hike is coming. One has already happened. I think there's another one coming. And it occurred to me this afternoon that I don't know what the number is that would stop me from paying for Game Pass.
Yeah.
Do you know what that number is? Because I don't.
Yeah, I don't either. It's more than what I'm paying right now. I can tell you that. I mean, Microsoft, plug your ears. I don't want you to hear this, but it's worth what I'm paying for it right now. Absolutely. I'm playing It Takes Two from Game Pass. Like, that's, you know, like the fact that they have EA games on there, even though I still have to go through Origin or whatever it is now.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt.
It is a pain, but it works. And I didn't pay extra for that game. Basically, I'm trying to think. Like, what about Final Fantasy?
Yeah.
Every other game I've played recently has been off
Game Pass,
right? Or that's about it. I get the random Steam stuff every now and then. I have a Humble Bundle choice. I play a game off that every month or so, you know, just something, you know, briefly. But like really the and to take this a step further in a different direction, but just to tie into the subscription idea, almost everything I play on my phone is stuff off of Apple Arcade that I pay for. You know, that's you know, the games I play on my phone are Apple Arcade. By the way, they are starting to do the pixel remasters of Final Fantasy on Apple Arcade, and I about fell over when I saw that. Like, oh, you wow. are going to own my life. Thanks, guys. And so like to broaden the topic just a little bit. It just feels inevitable at this point that most of my gaming is going to be subscription-based even more than it already is, which is a chunk of it. Just like every single bit of television and movie content I consume at this point is subscription-based. I haven't been to a theater in a couple of years. And it's, you know,
I have been to a theater, and I will go back. I love the theater, but I totally understand.
It's not something that I have a lot of options with kids, you know? Like, yeah. I took the sexy sidekick out to, it was her birthday this week, and I took her out to dinner the other night. We hired a babysitter. That's freaking expensive, you know? Yeah. Like, it's not something that we can do to go watch a movie. So we watch TV and movies, you know, at night after they go to sleep, and it takes us 3 or 4 nights to get through a movie or whatever, you know? Like, that's just the reality of where I am right now. Almost all of my content that is visual is television or film is subscription based, and gaming is getting there, and that just feels inevitable at this point. And I almost all of my music content, right? Like I buy records every once in a while, but not a lot. I don't buy a lot of physical media. I listen to Spotify every single day. I listen to podcasts every, I don't pay anything to listen to podcasts, but you know, just saying, everything I consume entertainment wise is through a feed of some kind that I'm paying for, most of it or not. Video games are well on their way to being there. Game Pass is the leader in that field and is going to continue to be. And that's what it really feels like Microsoft is just banking on. It's like they will be that solution more than they already are. They are the kind of masters in that realm already. If they can continue to multi-platform release, build relationships with Nintendo and Sony and other publishers to bring some of those games to Game Pass eventually. I mean, MLB The Show is a game that I play on Game Pass exclusively now. It's a Sony published game that I play exclusively on Game Pass. You know, like, it just is, the world of video games is much different than it was even 5 or 10 years ago. And Game Pass is a big, big reason why.
And we're running out of time. We really don't have time for this, but I just want to mention that for Christmas, my mother got me a turntable.
Nice.
And a 20th anniversary edition of the very first Dave Matthews album that I, well, not, it was actually the second Dave Matthews album, I believe. And I thought, oh, this is really cool. This is going to be awesome when Tommy gets here, because we can set that up and we can put it through the nice speakers and all that jazz. But I'm going to be real honest with you. That turntable and that unopened vinyl is sitting at her house.
Yeah.
Like, she has a much bigger record collection. I was like, Ma, just keep it. And she was like, it's your Christmas present. I was like, until he gets here, I can't do anything with it.
Yeah,
because it takes work to set up a turntable and get it rigged where especially somebody like me can reasonably, you know, make it useful. It's just easier to pull it up on Spotify,
yeah.
Right? And for sure. And I'm not even paying for Spotify. Like I'm the loser that's on Spotify free, and I don't even care. Like. The thing that scares me about Game Pass, and this is why I keep saying to myself, I've got to finish Indiana Jones, I've got to finish Indiana Jones, is that even though it is a quote-unquote Microsoft title, because they own Bethesda at this point, I'm afraid that it's going to go off of Game Pass for some reason. And so I have in my mind that I'm like, I've got to hurry, because if it goes off of Game Pass and I go buy it on Steam, what about my saves? How do you do that? Like, what do you, like,
right.
Like, I don't even know how that works. And so that's how old we are that I'm worried about a Microsoft owned game possibly leaving Game Pass. So I got to finish it before they take it down and I have to buy it. And it's a weird space that we're in because this is not how we grew up.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. Like,
I have an entire Steam library, which I love. I love buying games on Steam. I still buy Avery games on Steam for the Steam Deck. I love Steam. Game Pass is just more convenient right now.
Right. And it's a different thing. It's a change to the gaming economy that is, again, not going away. It is what the future of gaming looks like. And we're here for the ride, you know, like we're just going to be. And that's why, like, Xbox isn't freaking out. Should it be freaking out again internally? I don't know how they're feeling about stuff, but like Sony's talking about the PlayStation 6, you know,
and they should.
And they should. And Microsoft has talked about that they're working on new hardware and that kind of stuff. But they're whatever Sony's doing next, I don't know. We'll see kind of what direction they're going. But Microsoft isn't going to just put out another like, okay, here's the next Xbox. Like, go buy more hardware. And you know, whatever they do next is going to be rooted in Game Pass as the way that you're playing the games, not in the console. Whether that's cloud gaming, whether that's a kind of hybrid where like you're playing some of it locally, some of it's coming from the cloud, whatever it is, but they're going to lean heavily on Game Pass for whatever they're doing next in a way that Sony isn't doing at this point because they don't have, they have cloud gaming, PlayStation Plus, whatever their tiers are, I can't remember. I play stuff on there with Genevieve, you know, like on their cloud gaming thing as well. But it's just different. Like, it's just not Game Pass. They don't have the library. They don't have the usability in the same way that Game Pass does at this point. And so Sony is going to, it seems like, continue down a road of what they're doing. The Switch is very obviously, like, the Switch 2 isn't going the Game Pass route of a subscription model, like, unless they do something crazy. We hear about that at the beginning of April, but it doesn't seem likely. Microsoft is like, this is Microsoft's gaming future is Game Pass more than it's Xbox. Like, whatever you want to call like the Xbox brand, I would not be surprised if the term Xbox goes away in Microsoft's gaming vernacular over the next 5 or 10 years, right?
It's because it denotes going hardware,
and they're not building hardware in the same way anymore. That's not the focus of what they're doing. And so, the brand of Xbox itself is now becoming insignificant in the gaming world because it's not where they're going. And so,
I don't. Of course, I'm. We're not there, so we don't know. I don't think when the Xbox 360 came out and then the Xbox One, I don't think this is what they planned.
Oh yeah.
I think this is just what happened, and they shifted gears, and now and it worked out better than they could have ever envisioned. And so now it's like they don't need hardware. They are this decade's Sega. Like, they're gonna end up being Sega. Give them 5 more years and you're gonna see Microsoft games everywhere.
Yeah, we already are, you know, like, again, not to all the way to that extent, but getting there. Like, and Phil's openly talking, it's not even like they're kind of, you know, like shadow dropping stuff on PlayStation platforms or whatever. Like, Phil's saying, I love the Switch. Well, I'm gonna put Xbox games on the Switch, you know, like that they are perfectly content being the biggest publisher in the world, it seems like, and having Game Pass. And if that means no more hardware, I don't think it's probably hurting their feelings. In fact, I think if you actually like truth serum Phil, he would say, oh, I'd love to be done with hardware. Like, it's just like, it feels like it's a burden for them at this point, like, to try to have to keep up with the hardware side of things. Why? Like, they're putting out all kinds of games. They have this massively successful service. How that, you know, enhances or dilutes their revenue or whatever. It's complicated, obviously. Their physical sales of hardware are way down, but their revenue is not way down the same way that their physical sales are, even though they're also not selling individual copies of games the same way that they used to, because they have everything on Game Pass and they're relying on these subscription fees instead of individual game sales. But like, they're not sinking. They may not be making as much revenue as they would like to be making at this point, but like, they're also establishing something that is going to be the future of what they're doing. I have no idea how any of these streaming services are making money. We've talked about this before. Like, it doesn't make any sense that they're continuing to put out all the stuff that they're putting out. Somehow it's still working, and Microsoft is trying to do that as well. And maybe it's a bubble that's going to burst, and we'll see that.
I think there's absolutely no doubt that it's going to burst.
It's very likely, and I don't know what things look like when that bubble bursts. Right now, we're still in the bubble.
I have absolutely no idea, and let me just give you a real quick example. I know you just looked at your watch. We got to go. But you have HBO because it's part of your phone plan.
Yep.
And I have looked at the new Hulu Disney HBO bundle thing, but I have not switched over to that from ESPN Plus, because when you get that bundle, you don't get 4K. And the screen above my head is a 4K screen. It's part of the reason that I love Apple TV, because you get Atmos, you get 4K, like, it's just included in the service. And I'm not going to pay an HBO subscription that doesn't give me full access to the service. I'm just not. I'm probably one of 14 people in the United States that doesn't have HBO Max. It's a great service. I love it. They got great content. But I'm not paying for it. I'm not going to. And I think there's going to be more and more people that feel that way, whether it's Netflix or Amazon Prime. Pick which service you want to ditch.
Sure.
Oh, there's going to be a lot of people going, you know what? I don't have time to pay for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to happen in some capacity. What that capacity is and how that affects gaming, gaming is behind on this, and so it's going to look different. Hopefully, gaming streaming world is watching and learning from what television and film streaming world is doing, and will not make some of the same mistakes. We'll see, but yeah, it's a fascinating time in gaming. We're getting really good games. We're getting access to games in a very different way. And what comes in the next 3 years, I have no clue, right? Which is probably Nintendo doing exactly what they do with the Switch 2 being massively successful, Game Pass being bigger than it is, and Sony, you know, like, I don't know where they're going. Like, it's fascinating to me. So
they're going to keep doing what they do, because Sony in particular, they're going to keep doing what they do, because what they do is great.
It is. And it's working right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's fascinating. The thing that Sony has is they have really good first party content, which is something that Microsoft doesn't do as well, as high end as Sony's studios do. And so Microsoft is just so much more reliant on quantity than quality, and Sony is a little bit more quality than quantity. But at some point, like, the value of Game Pass is going to get people going, why am I paying $70 for a game? Which, just really, really briefly here to bring in the Grand Theft Auto 6 thing, because it's worth mentioning. There is a lot of rumors going around right now about how much Grand Theft Auto 6 is going to cost. And this happens from time. This isn't the first time we've had a story like this. But obviously there was a price shift recently, relatively recently. Again, we're old, so things can be a lot longer ago and feel recent to us because of that. But relatively recently, we got games up to $70 a pop for, you know, like a full price, big AAA title. $70 is, you know, kind of what you expect to pay at this point, which to me still seems insane, because we grew up with games that were $40 or whatever, $50 for the longest time. $60 seemed like too much, and now $70.
Anyway. I remember when $60 happened, and we went nuts on this show.
Yes.
because it was a Nintendo game that they were going to charge $60 for. Yeah. And I had a stroke live on the air because I said, we're not paying that. People aren't going to pay that.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Grand Theft Auto being 100.
Yeah. So that's the like range that they're given for Grand Theft Auto is $80 to $100 for this one game. And like, this is the most anticipated game of the past quite a while. Whether or not we see it this year, we'll see. But, you know, obviously if it comes out this year, it will be the most anticipated game of this year. Is the most anticipated game not out right now? Is likely going to be the biggest game in scope that we've ever seen. Like, we just know what Grand Theft Auto is. And so with that, is it unreasonable to expect that this will cost, you know, $80, $90, $100? And is it worth that? And this is, I just saw this today, a caveat that it may package Grand Theft Auto Online as a separate purchase. Like, it won't be included with that $100. If that's the case, even though Grand Theft Auto Online isn't necessarily the thing that you and I are super into, but obviously with Grand Theft Auto 5, that thing blew up in a way that I don't think anybody anticipated. And there's an expectation now for that as part of Grand Theft Auto 6. But if you're paying $100 and then having to pay an additional $50 on top of that to get the online side of it, that just seems like a ridiculous amount of money. Maybe totally worth it, but just like boggles my brain.
We love Grand Theft Auto. We love Grand Theft Auto. And I have played several, many, many, many hours of 4. I have not played 5 because I've been waiting on you. 5 is one of your favorite games.
Fantastic.
And that's one of those that I want to do together. And so I've been waiting on you. We're excited about Grand Theft Auto 6. $100 is insane.
Yeah.
And I, for the story is based off of this one analyst guy that basically, believe it or not, I read the story. Told me to go check the show. Yeah. So I read the story. It's based off this one analyst guy. It's like, look, the cost has to go up to cover the cost of development and blah, blah, blah. And there's all of these different reasons why it has to go up and why the cost is reasonable for inflation and all that. I'm going to say the same thing about this that I'm saying about what's going on with NVIDIA right now. All of that is marketing junk. To quote our boy Mike Wilbon, it is marketing junk. That's what it is. Because NVIDIA does not need to ship a $2,000 card. You and I had this discussion earlier. You said they're sold out. That's why they're doing it. Take-Two and Rockstar do not need to ship a $100 game. They've made enough money. If it comes out at $100, first of all, I'll say you and I aren't paying it. We're not going to pay that. I'm not going to pay that.
You're not going to pay. I think Grand Theft Auto is as good of a game franchise that comes out. I think I would pay $100 for it.
Dude, you're the cheapest man on the planet. Are you kidding me?
Now, to be fair, we would be paying $100 of Patreon money for it. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
That's what I was thinking to say. We're not paying for that. The show is paying for that. Okay.
This is the thing. So, and to kind of wrap with this, because we do need to get out, but I think it'll probably be $80. I think that's going to be the spot they land on. I think them having this floated $100 price point out there makes them thrilled because they could say, hey, we didn't release it for $100. Be happy, you know. But it's also like massively giant game production and, you know, adjusting for inflation and like, I
mean, right. But I'm going to throw your own words at you. How much money have they made off of Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead? And
sure. It's not that they need more money. Like, that's not what this is about. Like, that has zero impact on what they're going to charge us for it. Like, what they have made in the past matters none for what they're going to charge us for Grand Theft Auto 6.
Right.
And that's how capitalism works. Like, it doesn't matter what anything is ever sold for.
I was fixing to use my own words to say that's what the market will bear. That's capitalism. But at what point, what I want to get to before we wrap this, at what point, because the headline on the story is A Bridge Too Far for Grand Theft Auto 6. At what point do you get to a price where people, maybe not us because we have Patreon guys, but at what point do you get to a price where people look at that and they go, yeah, I'm not paying that?
I think $100 would be big backlash on Rockstar / Take-Two if they did that. I think that would be really damaging to their brand, which has had, to be fair, a lot of brand damage since Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, which was decade ago now, more than a decade ago. Like, just they've lost a lot of goodwill in you know, just the fact that it's taken them this long to get to Grand Theft Auto 6, but also the remasters they put out and the stuff around that, everything else, like they've just lost some goodwill. And so, like, triple digits I think would be enough to turn people off and get them really bad headlines and affect their bottom line on their sales, which is why I don't think they'll do $100. But I think saying this is the biggest game of the last 10 years, $80 is fair, especially, you know, since it's been.
Well, okay, we're assuming what you're saying, I 100% agree with, but we're assuming that it's going to be good.
Yes.
That's the thing. It's got to be good.
It's got to be good. If it releases and gets immediately panned, like, it doesn't matter what they're charging for it at that point, you know, like it's a whole different ball game. And
it's
that's
Cyberpunk all over again. Like,
yes, absolutely. Which Cyberpunk has found its footing. Another headline that we're not going to get to is finally overwhelmingly positive on Steam, which good for them on that. But took them a while. Took them 4 years to get there. Like, a release like Cyberpunk could be catastrophic for Rockstar in this case, because obviously they've put so much money into making this thing. They've got to try to recoup at least some of that through direct sales of this game. But like, that's the risk no matter what. Like, right, like, that's the any game you release, like, if it's not good, you're running that risk. This is just the highest stakes version of that, because it's the most anticipated game of, again, the last decade. Really, like, what else has been this highly anticipated? And so it is setting itself up to have to really come and bring it big. I will give Rockstar credit that they have come through on that, because Grand Theft Auto 5 was in the same boat, right? Like, it needed to be massively successful. That was. It was a really, really good, well-done, well-put-together game. They could do that. But last thought here on this, because it's come up a couple times in the show already, Doom used to be the thing. Fighting games used to be the thing. I used to spend a whole lot of time with Ninja Gaiden and Devil May Cry and Onimusha, and we're going to play Onimusha because it's nostalgia and we love nostalgia and all that stuff. But gaming tastes change, and the fact that it's been so long since we had the last, like, single player Grand Theft Auto experience come out, like, it might just not be the taste of current gamers. Like, there's a whole new generation of people that play games now that weren't playing games when Grand Theft Auto 5 was released. Like, that's also, like, I just don't know that the market's going to say, oh yeah, we're still into the Grand Theft Auto formula. There's not, we've talked about it, there's not a lot of other games that ever captured the Grand Theft Auto formula well. There's tons that tried, but none
and
really
they all
ever did.
Failed.
Yeah, they, you know, did their own thing. Saints Row is what it is. Watch Dogs was, but none of those games are anything like what.
Yeah.
Yeah. But none of those things are anything what Grand Theft Auto is a cultural phenomenon. Grand Theft Auto hasn't been that for, I mean, it has been that to their credit. They've kept a cultural phenomenon. Grand Theft Auto has kept it going in a lot of ways. But I don't know that a new single player Grand Theft Auto game is going to be that. For me, it is. Absolutely. I'm pumped about it. I want to see it right now, you know, but I don't know that that's going to be across the board adoption the same way that I'm pumped about it, and a higher price point plus not as many people interested in it as you're anticipating being interested in it could lead to some issues.
Now what changes all of that is if they have a limited release where it's not on Game Pass, but after 6 months, you got Grand Theft Auto 6 on Game Pass. I don't think that's going to happen, but like, if it's on Game Pass, I'm downloading it next week.
Right.
I'm doing the preload. I did a preload for Indy because I want to play it the second it comes. Like if it goes to Game Pass, that's it. It's over. Everybody in the world is playing it.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And that would be the massive get. And I wouldn't put it past Microsoft to get it. They've done it before with Grand Theft Auto, obviously not with Game Pass, but in that world. And so they could do it. Really quickly, no big releases of note. There are a couple of big games that have come out on PC. Marvel Spider-Man 2 is now on PC. Has a 90. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is now on PC. Also has a 90. Both phenomenally good games. And so
I got to play both of those. The sad thing about Final Fantasy is I've watched you play the entire thing and I have no business owning it. But I want to have it for a little bit and boot it up and just walk around in it. And I'm not going to give them $80 to do that or whatever the number is. But like, I really want to have it on PC.
Yeah, for sure. So anyway, there you go. Go pick up two really good PlayStation games on PC because there will be great there too. So.
And I will tell you right now, folks, that if it wasn't for a baby in the next room that is about to wake up, this could have easily been a 2.5-hour show.
For sure.
We left out a lot of stuff. So please go by the website, gamingunsensored.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. It's been fun having voicemail. So we need voicemail. So please do that.
Send us those. The Discord link has been updated.
Yes, it is official. Discord link works, is permanent now, so we'll work into the future. Join us on Discord. Discord is super cool.
Yeah, we're having a good time over there. Lots of discussion, lots of free games. If you don't have any money, if you're broke right now, our boy Logan has you set on the free games.
For sure.
It's lots of good stuff over there. For right now, that's all the time we've got. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. This has been another episode of Gaming Uncensored. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
Then we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.